The scripture reading this morning is from Mark 14, verses 1 through 6 in the King James Version. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, let there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, a very precious. And she broke the box, and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath brought a good work on me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Marcia said it's fun to be a pastor. If she thinks it's fun being a pastor, you ought to be a fill-in preacher. You can kind of stir the flock up. You don't have to worry about bringing them back in. You can leave that up to the pastor. So I am having fun today. I have a hearing aid on, I have this mic on, and I have my glasses on. So, see, I am having fun today. So, to really have fun, I made my wife read the scripture out of the King James Version. So, guys, as we look at this scripture here, there's a lot going on. And even my Bible titles it, "A Woman Anoints Jesus." But when you get to looking at that, there's a lot more to this scripture than just her anointing Jesus. That's a big part of the scripture. That is an important part of the scripture, don't get me wrong, but there's some things here. You know, when these first two verses, when it talks about the high priest and the scribes, what they're doing here, what they're doing is trying to come up with a crafty way to kill Christ, and that's the church. So I think we can all agree those people wasn't serving God there. They was not serving God. And so as you look at that scripture, what they was worried about was what day they were going to do it on. They wasn't worrying about killing somebody. They was worried about what day. They didn't want to stir the people up. Well, I'm going to tell you, sometimes the people probably need to be stirred up a little bit, but not in this way. Not in this way at all. So I think we can all agree that this was not right in what they were doing. So when you get to the second part of the scripture, then you run into the woman that come in here with the oil and anointed Jesus. And they say it was 300 pence. Now, the scholars that you look at and stuff says that's a year's wages to a lot of people back in that time. That's how much oil that was, you know. And so I'm guessing, I'm just guessing here, if we ourselves, if one of you guys would give me a year's worth of your wages, and I took it and bought some oil and anointed Marcia here, since the pastor ain't here, you probably, and somewhere in your mind, you would think, well, we probably could have done more with that than just anoint Marcia. Even if we anointed everybody in the church with that oil, which some of us, me, I'm going to talk about myself, I would probably question that some. About, well, now couldn't we have done this to help, you know, the poor? That's what they talked about. You know, Jesus had just went he had just spent about 3 years preaching on what? Helping the lame, helping the sick. He's at the leper's house now that he healed. Simon the leper, he's at his house now, and he's trying to... Would somebody let that young lady in at the back door? We don't want to keep them out of here. We want to let them in. All right. So the whole point of this here is that they were questioning, was that the right thing to do with it? What I want to talk about today is about worship in our churches. You know, we worship in different ways. Does that make it right or wrong, or we've got to figure that out, and there's a way to do that, whether we're doing it right or whether we're doing it wrong. If you go to 2 Timothy, in the second chapter, in the 15th verse, it starts telling us how to figure this out, what's right and what's wrong in our churches. You know, we know murder's wrong. There's no question about that. Whether to pour all that oil on her head was right or wrong, there's scripture that helps us out on that. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So this is not new to the word of God, to study it, to teach you, to help you through life. This is not new, and I'm going to show you, because in Psalms 119 it says this. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So it wasn't even just the Old Testament that the word was important to us. The New Testament, the word is important to us. And after Jesus. So, guys, it's very important that we study, not just Marcia or the pastor or your Sunday school teacher, or I'm talking about the whole church. It's very important for you to study your Bible, because there's things going to come up. People's going to ask you questions. If you're a pastor, they're going to ask you hard questions. If they know you go to church, they're going to ask you questions. They're going to want an answer from you on what your beliefs are, and you need to know what those are. I was actually at a funeral one time right after I started preaching, and there was a guy, and he said he was of a certain denomination. I don't know what it is, and didn't bother me either way. But he said he served the Lord, so that was important to me. And he got to asking, I was in a Free Will Baptist church, he said, "I want to know what you guys' beliefs are." And one of the guys sitting beside him said, I'll let you sit by Teddy. Here, move over here. He said, "I'll let Teddy explain it to you." And so he got to asking me how our beliefs was, and I got to talking to him about it. And they had told him that I had just started preaching. And he said, "Can I lay hands on you and pray?" And I said, "Why, sure." So here we are, just before the funeral starts, this guy lays hands on me and prays. And after the funeral, the guys go, "I can't believe you let him do that." And I said, "I need all the help I can get. I promise you I need all the help I can get." And so if he's serving the Lord and he's staying within the Word of God, I have no problem with him laying hands on me and praying at any time. But now we know, it's kind of like driving. The car, you know how that works. When you're young, you're 15. If you're a farmer, I know it's different. I know it's different. You all start driving just like I did when we were 13, 14 years old, and we go up, and they make us take this test, you know. But why they do is because they want to know if we know what the laws of the land are. You know, they want to know on a red light, do we know that we need to stop? On a green light, we need to go. You know, that's why you study that book, you know. On a yellow light, now that's questionable. I can tell you, my daughter told a policeman one time when she was in like first or second grade, he asked her what it said, and she goes, "My daddy speeds up on a yellow light." That's what she told a policeman. So the teacher couldn't wait to see me to tell me what my daughter had said. So there's some questions on the yellow light, but the green and the red, we know what to do with that, you know. So that's why, you know, that's why we study that book. Now, I wish my daughter was here today, because I don't always get a chance to preach to her, but she says that the speed limit is just a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. You young people, you old people, it's not a suggestion. Do I always follow it? Ask Mary Ellen Prather. She travels enough with me. She tells me how fast I'm driving sometimes. But it's not a suggestion. It's a law. And we need to follow that. I'm going to give you an example. Now, yeah, you all live in Lebanon, or most of you. If you're going from Elm Street and you're going to go to South 5, how do you go? You can come down Jefferson and you can take a chance on every light being green so you don't have to stop. You can take the chance of it being yellow and speeding through it, you know. But there's people always turning off in front of you and stuff, you know. You can go down to Adam. Why anybody go down Adam Street to go through there? There's like four stop signs, and you know you're going to have to stop at every one of them. So why would you do that? And then you can go down Washington. There's no stop signs. You can go from one end to the other. That's the one I take, you know, because I know I'm not going to have to stop. But does that make Adam wrong to take Adam Street? No, but, you know, some people like it where there's not much traffic or anything. They, you know, they don't care stopping at every stop sign or, you know. And then some people like Jefferson. I don't understand that either, you know. There's more wrecks on that street than there is any other street in Lebanon, I think. So, but does that make that wrong, that they could go on one street or the other? It don't make it wrong. It's kind of like us doing communion in our churches. You know, some people do it once a year. Do you realize that? They, even some of them that do it once a year, they think they're doing great because they do foot washing when they get done. But anyway, they do it once a year. Some people do it once a month. That would be us. We do it once a month. You know, some people do it every week. Does that make it right that some do it different than others? It really don't. You know why? Because the Bible says, as often as you do this, do it in my name. So see, there's different ways to worship God and not be wrong. There's different, we're starting to sing different songs, where the praise and worship songs. Does that make them right and the old gospel songs wrong? It don't. It's Old Free Will Baptist. I was raised in an Old Free Will Baptist church. I tell you, I could sing "I Fly Away" forward and backwards, but you ask me to sing it backwards, I can't do it. But we sang those old songs, but that don't make them right and us wrong. Some churches sing all worship and praise songs. That don't make them right and us wrong. So there's different ways to worship. Some preachers preach different than others. Some of them use bullet points, and I've got them here on these two pages. I ain't even looked at them yet. So you may be here a while. What we got to understand, just like driving a car. When I drive somewhere, I like to drive. And I'm going to tell you why I like to drive. Now I'm going to go to my bullet points here so I won't forget that. Because I always drive the right speed when I'm driving. When somebody else drives, I'm either looking over there wondering why they're driving so slow or why they're driving too fast. That's just the nature in me. I'm probably the only one that ever does that. You know, I'm always in the right lane. When I'm driving, I'm in the lane I'm supposed to be in when I'm supposed to be there. Now, I'm not the one that gets over in the left lane. When I say right lane, I don't mean over in the right. I mean, I might be in the left lane, but I'm in the lane I'm supposed to be in, or I feel like I need to be in. My wife can be a testimony to this. Sometimes I tell her, you know, you probably ought to be over here in this lane. You know what I get told? You ought to drove. If you want to be in a certain lane or turn at a, you know, I'd say, well, I'd turn down here, you know. I'm taking the right route. I'm going the way that I feel like is the right way to go. You know, this is another little deal, you know. My wife, she likes to go up to Jefferson, to Elm, and go all the way down to Lake, and then go from Lake down to our house on Linda Circle. I like to cut across, and I take 4th Street, and I come down here, and I hit 32, and you know, this is a mile across this way, you know, going across the country, and it's 2 miles this way. You go up a mile, and then you go that way a mile to get to our house. So, you know, does that make her wrong and me right? There's another thing that I won't even go there on the driving because it don't matter. When we got married, the first thing we run into is on how you fold a towel. Can you believe that? I double fold a towel. I take a towel and I fold it over and then I fold it again. I call that a double fold and I'm done. You know, I just don't. She takes and she folds it in half. She folds a third over, and she folds another, a triple fold. She folds it over, and that's how she does it. Does that make her right and me wrong? Yes. It does. Guys, if it does not matter, and it's not against the law, it's just easier for me to try fold those towels and go on. It's just easier to do that, guys. It really is. So some things don't make any difference. But now, if she decides to drive 100 mile an hour, and she wouldn't, but if she decides, I think I need to say something to her. That's against the law. If she's driving on the wrong side of the road, that's not okay. It's really not. But it goes the same way with the church. Just because some people take a communion and dip into a cup does not make us wrong because they pour it in a cup and give us a piece of bread and we take it. That does not make us wrong. Because of the singing a different song at some churches and others, as long as we're singing and lifting up Jesus Christ, that does not make one wrong and the other one right. So what we got to do is we got to start learning our Bibles so we can rightly divide the word of truth. It's important to us, very important to teach your kids this. You know, I got to have some of my kids with me yesterday, and you talking about making your heart feel good when they start talking about what they're doing at their churches. I think, oh, thank you, Lord. Maybe I've done one little bitty thing right. Because there's a lot of things that I've done wrong in my life. But when you start hearing your kids talk about Scripture and about church and about their beliefs and they're in line with the Word of God, I tell you, it'll make your heart swell. It'll make you feel like that you've done something right. You know, when you get plumb over there in Joshua, and that's actually where the serve the Lord come from. Because over in Joshua, the 24th chapter, the 15th verse, it says, "For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That's what Joshua. Well, what he's talking about, They're in a foreign country. And some of the people start serving the gods of the Amorites. And he asked them, said, "Now, are we going to serve the God that delivered us out of Egypt? Are we going to serve the God that brought us to this point? Or are we going to serve their gods? And this is what Joshua told him. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The only way that you're going to do that is if you know what serving the Lord is. And it's right here. I tell you, you can listen to your pastor, you can listen to your denominations, you can listen to a lot of different things, but what's going to make the difference is what you learn right here, what you have in your heart. The Bible talks about the God knows what's in your heart, and it needs to be this word of God right here. So as we go today, I ask you that for you and your family, what are you going to serve today? Are you going to stop at the stop signs? Because they are. There's stop signs that God said, stop. Whoa, don't go there. And then there's some that's okay as long as you stay in the Word of God. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go out here and go down the road and start running stop signs and take a chance? Nobody's going to hit you? Sooner or later, there'll be an accident. And it's the same thing in your life if you're not following this Word of God. Sooner or later, there's going to be an accident. And it won't be anybody's fault but yours. All right. As we come and sing, and everybody, thank you for coming this way today. And any time that you want to pray, and talk about it, come and get with me, Marcia, any of us. We would love to have you, love to talk to you. Whether it's today or whenever, we're never too busy to visit with you. Thank you.